Good. So once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Once again, welcome back, everybody. Listen, back in the seminary, they taught me that every time you get up and give a homily, you should always answer three questions. Three questions. Every time you get up and give a homily, those questions are, what? So what? And now what? Three questions, every homily. First of all, what? It should never be a mystery what you're talking about. Everybody should know what you're talking about, especially the guy giving the homily. Okay? Secondly, so what? You should never talk about something so abstract and theoretical that it really isn't important to anybody's life. It's been said that the very definition of boring is to answer a question that nobody's even asking. So what? Third question is the most important. Now what? Every time you give a homily, you ought to give the people some practical directions they can put into practice something of what they've heard, even if that something is just seeing the world in a brand new way. Right? What? So what? And now what? The reason why I mentioned that is because the feast day we celebrate today, Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into Heaven, is easily one of the most mysterious and difficult to understand feast days. So a little tiny bit of extra direction here today. So we'll start with the question of what. I always presume that everybody knows what we're celebrating when we celebrate a feast day, but it turns out lots of people don't know, right? So just in case you don't know, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary means that at the end of the course of her earthly life, the Blessed Virgin Mary was taken, body and soul, into heaven. She was assumed. She did not ascend. Jesus ascended, right? By his own will, by his own power. He's God. He can do that. Mary did not ascend. She was taken. She was assumed. And moreover, the church never defined whether or not Mary died. Never defined that. Some people are absolutely certain. They say Mary never died because she never had any sin, conceived without original sin. Death is a consequence of sin, so she's got no sin. She couldn't have died. Simple as that. A lot of people think that. Then other people will say, yeah, wait a minute. If Mary didn't die, well, then there's at least one way in which she did not imitate Christ our Lord, who certainly did die. So it's always been left unanswered, but here's one thing that's absolutely certain. She was taken, body and soul, into heaven. That body, which had given life to Christ our Lord. That body, which gave him the blood that he shed for our redemption. That body was not to undergo the corruption and the decay of the grave. That's what we celebrate today. But your next question is, so what? I hope you don't think that I'm flippant or irreverent in suggesting this, but if the only thing that we're celebrating today is a privilege that happened to Mary 2,000-something years ago, I mean, that's great, but so what? So what? There's got to be more to it than that. I sure hope there is. Guess what? There is, okay? But to help you understand why, I'll give you a little bit of the history of this feast day. The Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary was not defined as a doctrine of the church until the year 1950. Now, in the history of the church, 1950 might as well be last Tuesday. So recent. Did we only start believing that Mary was assumed into heaven in 1950? No. We've always believed that. You want to know one of the greatest proofs that the church has always believed in the Assumption of the Blessed Mother into heaven? It's this. There are no relics in the world of the Blessed Virgin Mary. No relics. I hope y'all already know what relics are. Just in case you don't, a relic is a real little tiny bit of a saint, usually a bit of a bone. Church has always honored and reverenced relics. And it goes back to the days of the ancient persecutions in Rome. And the people couldn't say Mass in public. They had to gather in secret. So where'd they gather? They didn't have a building. They gather at the tomb of a martyr. Because they figured, holiest place in the whole world is right over the bones of someone who gave their life in witness to Christ. Well, persecutions ended, and the church began to figure, if I can't go to the tomb of a martyr, I'll bring the tomb of a martyr to me. And that's where we started putting relics inside every consecrated altar. You know, there's relics of St. Therese right here inside this altar. Relics all over the place. We've always loved them. But there's never even been suggested a relic of the Blessed Virgin Mary, because everybody knows this feast day and its truth. Okay, so why 1950? Why 1950? Well, the answer has to do with the Pope's understanding of the needs of the people of that time. Okay, so put yourself back, if you can, in your mind, mindset 1950. Okay, we're halfway through the 20th century. We're only halfway through, and already this has been the bloodiest and saddest century in all of human history, and it's not even close. Not even close. We've already celebrated. We've already had two world wars, and people are beginning to wonder if there's going to be a third. We've already created a horrible new weapon, the nuclear bomb, capable of raining down death and destruction, the likes of which have never before been seen on the face of the earth. And we've just seen the deepest degradation of the human person that any of us have ever known. Think concentration camps. Cruelty from one man to the next, the likes of which we didn't even think we were capable of, and we're only halfway through this century. Upon the collective human consciousness fell a pall of despair. What kind of future is mankind going to have on this earth? A pall of despair. And that's what led the Pope to proclaim this doctrine. He says, and I paraphrase his opening letter in which he taught this, Pope Pius XII, he says, why do I say this now? To teach you hope. To teach you the value of every human life. To teach you the overriding importance of living to do God's will and being of service to your neighbor. To proclaim the exalted destiny of every human body and soul, and to remind you, lest you forget, of your heavenly inheritance, I give you the glorious assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven. So what, you might ask? So what? We need that now more than they did then. We need that now more than they did then. And that's what we remember in this great feast day. And it leads to the last question now. Now what? Now what? Well, the Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Mother is a day to lift up your mind and heart. Take all your worries, set them aside, and remember what God has in store for those who love Him, because the most interesting question you can ever ask in all the world is this: what happens to us after we die? That's the most interesting question, and I'm not just talking about heaven and hell, right? Or purgatory, for those who aren't quite ready for heavenly bliss yet. But what's it going to be like? What's it going to be like? Even though it's a mysterious subject, would you be surprised to know that our church has some very specific answers to give about what happens to us after we die? First of all, death. What is it? It's really very simple. Death is very simple. Death is the separation of the body from the soul. That's all it is. The body, without the soul, has no life. We lay it in the ground. The soul keeps on living. And what is your soul? It's that bit of you that knows and loves. 5 minutes after you die, you're the same you that you are right now. Your knowledge lives on. Your love lives on. It's just that the body and the soul have been separated. But God made the human person to be an integral of body and soul together. It's an utterly unnatural state. That's why every time we proclaim the creed, we say something extraordinary. We say, I believe in the resurrection of the body. I believe this somehow. I don't know how, I don't know when, But after death, in heaven, you're not going to be like a ghost spirit forever. Somehow there's going to be a body. And how do we know this? You know how we know this? Because when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he had a body, and he made it painfully clear to everybody that he wasn't a ghost. He'd go up to people and he'd say, "Hey, stick your hands in my hands and in my feet and see that I've got a body like you. Oh, and by the way, you got anything to eat?" Because a ghost never asks what's for lunch, right? Why did he do that? He wanted us to know our own destiny. And guess what? The Blessed Mother, she's just the first of where God intends to lead all of us in eternity. Now, you ask, now what? Now what? If you know the sanctity of the human body, that's going to change your whole life. It's going to change your whole life and your interaction with everybody else. How many sins, dare you imagine, are committed because people forget the sanctity of the human body? People forget the sanctity of their own body and sin against themselves. And how many times do we sin against other people, disregarding the holiness of the other person and their body which God created? Next to the Blessed Sacrament, the holiest thing in this world that will ever be presented to your senses is the indwelling of God in the human being who is your neighbor, a human body. Greatly good, greatly holy transforms our whole life. And not only that, but if you keep this feast to mind and you know and believe what God has promised, you will never lose hope. Never lose hope. No matter how dark things get, a flicker of hope will always burn in the depths of your soul, knowing that no matter how bad things might be, God has led you and called you to a destiny that is literally glorious, literally radiant. Because we have hope. Not just optimism. It's a difference. Optimism is what? It's wishful thinking. Yeah, optimism is, yeah, I really think everything's going to turn out for the best. When you know quite well that things very often don't turn out for the best. That's not hope. Hope is not based on wishful thinking. Hope is based on divine promises, and God always keeps his promises. It's a fantastic feast day. It's a wonderful feast day, and exactly what we need in this very difficult hour of our lives. Blessed Virgin Mary once said, "He who is mighty has done great things for me." Well, he who is mighty has done great things for you too. And one of them is giving you this fantastic example of the Mother of God, who is in heaven, body and soul, praying for you, pleading for you, and trying to bring you home. Let's ask for her prayers now and always, shall we? As we pray, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us.